Thank you so much, Riley, and I always enjoy our young people serving the Lord. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we're going to continue the sermon this morning. I only got one point out, and sometimes God leads in that direction, but we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we read the whole chapter this morning, but I really want to focus in on that verse that we're keying in on, that text. We know the story. We went through the story this morning, the story of Nehemiah and the Israelites, the Jews that have escaped captivity, 52,000 of them. They built rebuilt the temple, and God used them in a great way. And then now they're rebuilding the walls, and we talked about the gates. Been talking about the gates, and they're continuing building the wall. And wouldn't you know it, when you're in the middle of God's work and you're doing God's work, there's going to be some criticism, there's going to be some ridicule. And how many of you know that the Israelites were working on the wall, and probably some of them made a mistake? How many understand that? Now, it's not in the Bible, it didn't tell us that they made a mistake, but how many of you are in construction? Anybody do anything at home construction-wise? Anybody ever make a mistake and just really messed up? I mean, the level said it was level. I see some of the wives laughing here. We make mistakes. And ladies, you don't make any mistakes, okay? Just want to make sure that's clear. Now, you may not always be right, ladies, but you are never wrong, right? All right, but the guys, we make mistakes, and can you imagine, they're on the wall, and they're probably making some mistakes. They're probably not doing everything perfect. Now, Nehemiah's watching them, and he's making sure that they do make a mistake. We go back and fix it, we get it right, and I'm sure a leader like Nehemiah would be doing that. But during this time, when they get ridiculed, and we see in the first couple verses of chapter 4 that Tobiah and Sanballat are ridiculing them, not just to them, but to other people in Samaria. And then they go to their enemies because they hate the fact that the wall is getting built. They hate the fact that the wall is being restructured, and that we talked about this morning that there will be no more breaches. They hated that fact. And the wall being built made them angry. And we talked about the Ashdodites and how that their name means "I will spoil." I will spoil. And how that's how Satan and the world look at the church. They want to spoil Christianity. All you have to do is look at some of the bills that are going across and seeing the writing in these bills of how they want the Word of God out of this country. Why? Because the Word of God gets rid of breaches. Amen? And they want the Word of God out of the country. But Nehemiah sees that there's enemies coming. And the people start worrying. Well, they worry about a couple things. They worry about, number one, that they're not doing things right. They're worried about the fact that they don't have enough materials. And, hey, this wall is nothing but rubble. How are we going to build this wall back again? And then they worry about the enemies. And they said, well, hey, they're going to come when we're least expecting them, and what's going to happen? And then in verse 14, Nehemiah stands up and says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them." And here is our battle cry we learned this morning. It is what? Remember the Lord. And our battle cry in Christianity is, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. We talked about this thought this morning. Who should remember the Lord? How many of you were lost at one point in time? Amen. How many of you are saved? Praise God. I think, believe everybody in here has accepted Christ as personal Savior. If you were lost at one point and now you're saved, guess what? You have a great remembrance of the Lord. You have a great reason to remember the Lord. because he has rescued you out of bondage. We talked about that this morning. We look in verse 14, and it says that he rose up and said to the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people. He covered everybody. Isn't it great that God has died for everyone? And it's wonderful to know that everybody that is in bondage has an opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Savior, has that choice. And we're thankful for that. He says, be not afraid of them, and remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And we talked about the fact that these 52,000 Jews were taken out of the land of Babylon, and they knew how great God is, and they knew how great, how terrible God is. Did you know that the reason they were in captivity? The reason they were in captivity, because they were disobedient to God. Disobedient to God. God told them every seventh year that you're going to leave the ground alone. Let the ground be fallow. And you know what they said? You know, we don't have to obey that law. And after a couple seventh years of planting and tilling the ground, the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to give the ground 70 years. And I'm taking you out of it. They began to worship other idols other than the one true God. And God dealt with them. And so we see that there is a great and terrible God. God will judge. God will judge. And we talked about this thought of remembering the Lord. Remember the Lord. Who should remember the Lord? When to remember the Lord? Number two, when to remember the Lord? And if you notice and understand the scripture here, the context of it, there's a lot of times we ought to always remember the Lord. Amen? Always remember the Lord. But there are times when we really sometimes just mess up and we forget what the Lord has done for us. How many of you have ever been in a moment of anxiety, a moment of fearfulness, and we forget how great God is? We don't remember the Lord, and we get so fearful, maybe upset and angry, many times angry at God. And in this context, we see that we should remember the Lord when we are on the receiving end of threats or threatening situations. Here's what was happening. We know there was threats to these people, and they received threats to overtake them. This wasn't just two guys. These two guys went to three different people groups, three different armies, to attack the Jews, not standing on a hill and say, okay, here we come. This was a surprise attack coming after the Jews. Now, if at any moment in your life you were afraid, that would be a moment, right? And here we are building and doing what God wants us to do. Here we are doing exactly, being where exactly where God wants us to be, and this happens to us. And the first thing we say, instead of remembering the greatness of God, we say what? Why? I thought I was doing everything you want me to do. Why? And that's our nature, isn't it? But instead of when we're threatened and when we're in threatening situations, instead of raising our hands to God and saying why, we need to look to God and remember His greatness. How many times do we see God's people obey God even in threatening situations? I just want to give you some principles here. Three times in this portion of Scripture, three times in chapter 4, there's two words that are mentioned. The words "our God" are mentioned three times. Let's look at them. Verse 4, the first response to the ridicule. The very first response, when ridicule comes, what's your first response? Oh, no, they didn't. Especially when it has to do with our children. You with me, parents? You with me, mama bears? Huh? Especially when it has to do with our children. The first thing we do is we're ready to fight. We're ready to rip somebody's head off. But what did Nehemiah do in verse 4? Hear, O our God. There's a challenge here. We're in the middle of a challenge. And Nehemiah could jump down and say, okay, let's fight. Let's go get them. Let's take care of Sanballat and Tobiah. They're the ones. Let's go get them. Let's really get to the root of this issue. Let's just clear them out. Let's take them off the radar, and we'll be done. Our challenge is over. And we think we got the answer, but let me tell you something. We don't. It's God that's the answer. And he said, hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And I want you to understand, look at verse 5, and cover their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. I want you to understand, when people threaten you when you're in the Lord's work, they're not threatening you, they're threatening God. Do you hear that? We take things so personal sometimes. And we're in the work of the Lord, and we're preaching the word, and we're soul winning, and we're doing what God wants us to do, and somebody comes and threatens us and ridicules us and laughs at us, and we start bucking up at them. We start getting upset at them. They're not doing that to you. It's to God. Now, let me clarify something here. I want everybody to listen and understand this clarification. Nehemiah and the children of Israel were in the middle of the work of God. You with me? Outside of God's will, many times we get threatenings and we say, well, God, fight our battle. And we're outside the God's will. And God has guidelines and God has his will, and he wants us to live within his will and do his work. And inside that, we can go to him when we're threatened and we're ridiculed. It's like an umbrella. How many of you have umbrellas? Very good. You need to keep an umbrella in your van at all times in Asheville, North Carolina. Just letting you know. We'll drive home to Swannanoa, and it'll be beautiful over here. We'll go, and the road is wet. And I'm thinking, what in the world happened? And there was a shower. How many of you have one of those little tiny umbrellas? You know, there's this little tiny, nice little pink umbrellas, right? And they're only for how many people? One, okay? You are you're a selfish person if you have one of those little tiny umbrellas, all right? We need those big umbrellas. This is good doctrine. Listen, okay? We need those big umbrellas that can fit more than one person. And God's umbrella, listen, we get under God's umbrella. God protects us. God's work, God's will. You see that? He's our God. And the children of Israel, they were there. They were in the middle of God's will, working for God, and they received ridicule. Don't be surprised when you're in the middle of God's will, you're working for God, doing God's work, and you receive ridicule. It happens when you're under the umbrella and when you're not under the umbrella. The difference is, under the umbrella, you're under God's protection. You with me? Where's our umbrella, Pastor Creed? Right here. Right here. Our God. That's what he said. And when you're under the umbrella of God and they attack you, they're not attacking you, they're attacking God. It's not you that should take it personal, God takes it personal. Amen. And we see we need to remember the Lord. We also see verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayers unto God. Our prayers unto God. We should not turn to them or others for help until we turn to God. We should not turn to them or others for help until we turn to God. And this is important. We should turn to God first. How many times then we get ridiculed and we get someone throws rocks at us and we're trying to do the Lord's work and we're trying to do our best and somebody ridicules us and the first thing we do is we go to our friend. You'll never guess what somebody said about me. You'll never guess what Pastor Creed said. You'll never guess what the teachers, you'll never guess what they said. You'll never, listen, we start gossiping. We throw it up on social media. And then we say, oh yeah, you know what? I should pray to God. What does Nehemiah do? He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto, there it is again, our God. Who's God? Our God. We're under His umbrella. He's our God. And we have a resource that when the ridicule comes, when the threatenings come, we can go directly to the very throne room of God and ask for help. And that's where our first turn should be, to God. And then it says, and set watch against them day and night because of them. Now, this is a great principle. A great principle. The Bible teaches us that we ought to do things decently and in order. The Bible gives us a lot of commands that we ought to be doing things. Action commands, doesn't it? Here's what this means. Many times we get this mixed up. Well, Pastor Creed, I prayed. And prayer is good. And prayer is important. And prayer is priority. But that's only the first thing you ought to do. You ought to follow what God, how God directs you. You ought to do things. What did they do here? Nehemiah, they said they prayed unto their God and sat back and waited for their God to destroy the enemy. No. They set a watch against them day and night. They were wise. They were wise. Okay? Now understand, people will threaten you. The first thing we do is we go to God, but we also set a watch. We see verse 20, that God will fight. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. There it is, the third time. Our God. Verse 4, our God. Verse 9, our God. Verse 20. In this one, there's a promise, our God will fight for us. Sometimes God will fight through us. I mean, remember David and Goliath? Yeah? Did David go out there and say, okay, God, I'm out here now defeat Goliath? Now, what happened? David went down to the brook and got five little stones, and he put one little stone into the sling, and the sling went round and round, and round and around and around. Come on, kids, and around and around and around. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. You know what David did? David went, got a stone, put it in a sling. The skill that God gave David with that weapon, God used to defeat Goliath. A lot of times we say, well, God, just defeat our enemies. God, just do this, and God, do that, and God, do this. And God has equipped this church in many different ways with many different gifts to do many great things. And God wants to do great things through us. And God will fight sometimes through us. Sometimes God will fight through others. I mean, remember the Egyptians following Moses and the people of Israel, right? And they get to the Red Sea. What happens? We know the Red Sea parts. And they walk across on muddy ground, right? No, it's what? It's dry ground. But that's not the end of the miracle. The Egyptians say, hey, let's follow them. And what happened? Those walls started to tumble. And the Egyptians were taken out. And God destroyed them. God will fight himself. God is ready to fight. I think of Daniel, where God shut the mouth of the lion. You say, well, God didn't kill anybody. No, but God changed the heart of a king. Amen? He shut the lion's mouth and changed the heart of the king. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, God didn't kill anybody. God didn't fight. Guys, you ever watch those Hallmark movies, right, with your wives? Huh? We watch them for one reason. Usually there might be one fight scene in the whole movie, right? And sometimes you're like, that's it? That's all we got? You know? And we watch the whole thing, the whole hour for that one fight scene. All right? Ladies, I know you have an agenda with that movie, but the fellas are just there to see some fist thrown. Sometimes God doesn't work that way. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the fiery furnace, and Jesus Christ was in there with them. And God changes the heart of the king. God should have killed that king. But instead, God changes the heart. Now think about this. Your greatest enemy, your greatest foe that ridicules you for coming to church tonight, for ridicules you about the Bible and throws rocks at you, and what if God changed their heart? What if God dealt with them and changed their heart? Now, how do we remember the Lord after turning to God? What is our responsibility? We ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We ought to be ready. We ought to be armed. They which build it on the wall. Verse 17 of chapter 4, they which build it on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Can you believe that, Lisa? They had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Praise God. Can you imagine that? They were working with one hand, and they were ready to protect themselves with another. We ought to be ready. We talked about a little bit this morning, but we ought to be ready to do God's will. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What book? Here it is. Are you armed? What's that trial mean? That's a building. That's a growing. How do we grow? How do we build on our lives, on our family? How do we do that? Word of God. How do we protect ourselves? How do we arm ourselves spiritually? The Word of God. Here it is. Trial and the sword. Every Christian should have the Bible. Meditate on there in day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not just meditating on the Bible. This morning in Sunday school, I took Brother Buck's class. We talked a little bit about the gap between learning and understanding God's word and doing God's word. And there's a great gap there with Christians. Learning and doing. And here a great leader, Joshua, says, yes, meditate, but observe to what? Do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. What's that? That's working. That's building. That's growing. And then thou shalt have good success. What is that? That's victory. That's victory. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we see that word said again. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you remember the Lord? Do you remember the Lord? Now, we're coming up on November. And I see this all the time. 30 days of Thanksgiving. Whatever happened to 365 days of Thanksgiving? We ought to be thankful and grateful for what God is doing every day in our life and what he's already done. Can we remember the Lord? In these times where the enemy is attacking us, can we remember how great God is and the promises of God? I remember this story, what a great story it was, of Ira Sankey, who for years led the music for D.L. Moody. It was D.L. Moody's evangelistic meetings all around America, and he was there to lead the music for that, and traveling by steamboat on Christmas Eve in 1875. He was recognized by some of the passengers, and they asked him to sing. Ira Sankey agreed and began singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. When the song was done, one of the listeners stepped forward and asked, did you serve in the Union Army? Yes, said Mr. Sankey. The man said, can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlight night in 1862? Ira Sankey thought, and he said, you know what? I do remember that. The man continued, he said, I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I raised my gun and took aim. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. At that instant, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing that same song. And you sang, let him sing his song. And I said, let him sing his song to the end. I can shoot him afterwards. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother who sang that song to me. And when you finished, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought the Lord who was able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. How many times in our life does the Lord protect us? And every day, we have an opportunity for this battle cry to remember God.